Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Glad you all said that. Today's going to be a little bit different. We require this morning 100% participation. Don't you like that? I know some folks may be uncomfortable with it, but the Lord will never put you in a position that you're uncomfortable with. You may not like it. That's a whole other thing about your will. We'll get into that in a minute. If you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 21, and we'll pick up at verse number 14, and when you get there, please stand for the reading of the Word. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, picking up at verse number 14, the scripture read, "Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer." Boy, we can leave that alone all by itself. "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries," with an S, "shall not be able to gainsay." Resist. Notice how it says, "nor resist." "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents, by brethren, by kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls." You may be seated. It's funny because I was talking to somebody right before church, and they said, "I can be patient." And I said, "Write that down." Patient, and when I looked up the definition, really kind of surprised me. Patience says cheerful endurance, consistency while enduring, and continuance. Now, I think definitions of words are important. And so many times we as the church, we react to our conditions rather than respond to our conditions. And when we react, we're usually reacting out of emotions. And a lot of times we react the wrong way. I think they like to call it a knee-jerk reaction. Sounds worse than just a reaction. But let me tell you, they're both bad. God sends, and I want you to bear this in mind, time and time again, sends teachable moments to us so that we can learn from them. But if we go off on just a whim of how it hits our emotions and how it hits our own plans, a lot of times we'll ruin a teachable moment. Once I've hollered and screamed at Debbie, there's nothing I can say that's going to get the attention back over the situation. Especially with husbands and wife, you know what I mean. I heard David Wilkerson was ministering. I'm pretty sure it was him. And he said that he had flew off the handle at his wife, and he said some things to her and he didn't really mean. And after he calmed down, she being the sweet soul he was, he apologized and said, "Honey, I didn't mean that." And she said, "That's okay. I understand, honey. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So, you know, that scars that we do when we throw things out, we got to be careful. Patience is something that we in today's society need. We have everything so readily available at our fingertips. We cannot wait for nothing. But how can I explain to you that God don't have a cell phone and we don't have His number? And He don't jump when we say jump. Not when we're in His will. If we look at James chapter 5, he speaks of the husbandman. And what I want you to think about patience, I want you to think about a farmer, and most people here have planted something in their life, put a seed in the ground. That farmer endures a lot of hardships when he puts that seed in the ground. Why is it that he would put up with the wind and the rain and the drought, and the weeds, and the briars and the insects and the animals and fight all of these things, listen, that are totally out of his control. But battle them every day. Walk into his garden and fight the elements that are against him, knowing they're beyond his control, and all he can do is respond when they show up to fix the problem that they presented in their showing up. Why would he do that? Because when he holds that seed in his hand, he has a promise. In that promise, if he does what is needed for that seed to come forth, he will reap a harvest, though while he holds a seed in his hand and he battles this, it's not just the promise that he's seeking for, but it is the result of his harvest. I don't know many people that would plant a seed that if you put one kernel of corn in the ground, Denzel Wellington, it'll grow one kernel. You put one tomato seed in the ground and you'll get one tomato off of it. How many would really be? But you want an abundance. It is a small investment. Hear me now. There is a small investment for a great harvest. But with patience, he has to wait. Now, what if little Ricky gets out here and he plants his garden and he's got his corn all in a row and it's been 2 weeks, brother, and you ain't seen nothing happening. You're keeping things out. So I'm just going to dig them up and see how they're doing. When he tries to make it work, it kills it. Once the seed is out of the soil, I'm speaking from experience, it don't matter how you put it back in the hill, it don't work no more. There's things that's going to happen in our life that we're going to have to take patience with. The important thing, and the thing that really got me, as I think it was Robbie mentioned it, he just said patience, and then Scott mentioned it when he was preaching, and he said the word patience, and it just popped in my mind and exploded. In patience, possess ye your soul. Now, we know we're a three-part being. We know we're a body, a soul, and a spirit, right? So in patience, possess ye your soul. We know what your soul is. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. In patience, possess ye your mind, your will, and your emotions. Do you hear how powerful that is? How many of us would like to be able to possess our thoughts? To possess our emotions? And be able to possess our will, which not our fleshly will, but the will of the Father who we now serve. That is possible in that through patience, patience is going to teach you these things. He's not going to just walk up and forfeit them over to you because you've been a good Christian, because you prayed a little bit, because you believe the Word of God. I'm just not going to have to go through anything. I'm not going to have to endure anything. Everything's going to go just peachy for me. My life is going to be the grandest thing that ever was. I just can't wait. Let me get to an altar and get saved. How many times does it happen that way? But things are going to happen in your life. There's things you're going to pray about, as we said before, especially when you're praying and it deals with somebody else's will. You're not going to break their will. That's something left between them and God. I tell you to continue to pray, continue to lift it up, but put it ultimately in the Lord's hands, and with patience, you're going to have to wait for the harvest. What a grand thing it would be if we were to possess the thing that drives us the most. I mean, if Rick's acting crazy, what do? Get a hold of yourself. When we say, get a hold of yourself, what are we telling you? Get your mind back in line. But if he already possessed it, we wouldn't have to shake him back into reality. And a lot of times, that's what the Lord has to do with us. We will not allow it to happen. We will make it to happen. Now, can we get a little personal? Young folks,
I'm right here.
Well, not exactly this example, brother. Believe me, you and Vicky don't want this example. When you're looking to start a relationship with a person of the opposite sex, underline explanation point, you get in a fit of rage because it ain't happening. So because you don't have possession of your mind and your emotions, you make it happen. All of a sudden, this ain't that important anymore. I'll put this down here. And even though the whole relationship is a continual mess, you still try to battle it out and make it work. And you end up an emotional mess because you weren't... There you go, Eric. You get a sucker. Remember, this is 100% participation. Because you weren't... You let everything get all out of line. Because you're going to make your relationship work. Sarah, what if you got planned this? Kind of thin, athletic, dressed right. But God's got planned this at 190 pounds. Or I could say Chelsea or Eric. What if you have Brittany? Anybody? What if you have this image in your mind, but God has this image? Can we look beyond the outside shell and see a child of God who may pray deeper for you and lead you into more spiritual knowledge and better finances, better children, a better life? But no, he don't fit. He's not a good enough trophy. She's not trophyized enough that I can be proud to introduce her to everybody. Because you get to volunteer too. Because this ain't my companion. This is my trophy. See her? See her? We make them. Sometimes you get lucky and you get it both like I did. But we push and we cause. Now, not only in companion relationships, as all of the young folks know, I tell them very clearly, if it don't look like a husband and a father, cut it off. Don't get emotionally involved. That's hard to do. You should have never gotten the mess to start with. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, even in friendships, told you we're going to get personal. Glad you testified that, brother. We will forge friendships that we know are unhealthy for us because the lack of having to have something. I'm telling you to be... God is on His way. As I just told Tony right before church, you don't know that there's not somebody just this morning on their face crying out to God, would you send me somebody who is spiritual, who can help me? And we're saying, nope, I've got to hang on to my chair. And here this person's praying, and God, look, every single one of you have been formed in a fashion around your personality that God can use you to affect other people. But until we allow God, through patience, to bring forth those personality traits that He's working on us in, we will never be injected into ministry. If all we do is fight to have it our way, we need to submerge ourselves in patience. Knowing when we pray that our Father which is in heaven hears us, and that good thing He'll not hold back from us. So if it's good for us, He'll bring it to pass. In patience, possess ye your soul, mind, will, and emotions. How would you like to have control of your emotions, ladies? Now, the ones that ain't laughing and saying okay, they're going, That's why everybody faces this way. See, I get to see everybody's reaction. What y'all don't get to see is a minute ago. They won't shake their head. Yes, they get caught doing that. If we will possess our emotions in not what the situation looks like, but what the situation is. I can tell by the way Joan looked. She wasn't sorry. She didn't care. Debbie wasn't really glad to see us. I could tell by the look on her face. Have you ever stopped to think? It's kind of like when somebody pulls out in front of you. What are they? An idiot. Where'd they learn how to drive? What's the matter with that idiot? When you do it, it's, oh, sorry. Mistake. I'm not an idiot. I just made a mistake. Have you ever thought that maybe, just maybe, I could see Andrea in the store, and it's not that she's not glad to see me. Maybe she's had a real bad day. Maybe both of the kids and Brian are homesick. And Jimmy and Carol can't go over there and get any medicine. And she's got to deal with that, plus whatever she deals with. No, no, no. When I see you, Kay, you've got to have my whole intentions, everything about me in your whole care. Forget about your world. I'm the one that's here now. Is that right? Could I say, is everything going okay, sis? Can I do that? Absolutely. What if Andrew just don't feel like talking? Since we're using you. Well, come on, I know something's wrong. So we start to guilt trip. Well, you look pale. You know what I tell people? They do that to me at work a lot. They go, you feel all right? I say, sure. Well, you don't look too good. I say, well, really? I was thinking the same thing about you. You look kind of pale. You sure you ain't sick at your stomach? And it won't be long they'll be going. Don't let people talk you in. You know what you feel like. You know if something's wrong. You don't walk away from our conversation guilty, Andrea, because there's nothing wrong. Well, maybe there is something wrong. Maybe I should be upset. Maybe I should be ill. That don't matter what it is. In patience, you will possess your emotions. Well, when I say, sis, is everything okay? And she says, yeah. Then I accept it. Okay. That's accepting your emotions. Get possession of them. So you don't just jerk out of yourself, out of your Christian life, and just say, so as soon as I get done, I seen Andrew a while ago. She's over in aisle 13, Debbie, and there's something wrong. I know there's something wrong, because I know when something's wrong. And you need to look at me and say, yeah, something's wrong. You're blabbering too much. You need to be patient, and she'll tell you if she wants you to know. We get so caught up in our drive that we have no patience. There's things that are going to take place in your life that you're just going to have to rest. Know that you prayed about it. Know that the Father heard you. Know that it all comes to you. You need to become, help me out here, willing. Yeah, patient. Who said that? Who said patient? There you go. Need to be patient. I was. You need to be willing to do one thing. And you are arriving in your Christianity when you get to this point. When you can say, God, you see my tomorrows. I don't. I'm leaving it with you. If he is this tall and dressed like he's supposed to be dressed, then that's fine. But if he's this tall and he's 190 pounds, that's fine too. Jesus told the disciples over and over and over, not my will. I come to do the will of the Father who sent me. And when we will get into the will of the Father, things will get a whole lot easier. But we just really think we can control it a whole lot better than what he can. Because we're going to make it happen. I don't need a car, but I'm going to find somebody who will finance it and give me the right payment. And you do, and you're strapped, and it breaks down, and you can't get it fixed, and then you're stuck. Could God actually just say, Shannon, it's not my will you have a new car. Fix your old one. No, God wants me looking good. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Because all of this stuff that happens to us, these trials and tribulations, as we are being patient in our waiting, does one thing. Satan attacks you for one purpose. And I don't think it is as, hear me now, I don't think it is as important to him that he makes you fall. Because how many tests and trials you go through and you don't fall at all? How many believe Satan is wise? But maybe all of his trials are to tear at your faith, because it's the foundation that you build on makes you strong or weak. The little foxes spoil the vine. You know why the little foxes spoil the vine? They don't eat the fruit and the branches. They chew the bark off of around the base. And when it does that, it kills the vine in them. The little bitty things root and tear at you and pull you away and pull you down. But with patience, possess ye your souls. You will have control. Well, what do you mean? Does it mean that my brothers and my sisters, they're going to come into church next week? Absolutely not. But it knows that I have full possession over their souls. How do you say that? In that when I prayed to God, He promised me He would deal with them. So I leave it with them. Do you think it would do any good if I was praying for them and I picked up the phone and I said, hey, so and so, is God dealing with you today? Well, He will be. Click. Do you think they want to hear that? How about if I called up somebody and I picked up the phone and I said, hey, is God dealing with you? I don't think so. Well, He's going to. You ain't going to believe what He's getting ready to do to you. You're in big trouble, boy. Click. But with patience, because every promise that I have is from the Father. And if He's promised it, He'll bring it to pass in His time. What if those that I would call, Rick, aren't ready to receive my call? What if God is hearing my prayer, answering them, preparing their heart, and you're going to bump into them and witness to them, and they're going to go to some church over here and get saved? Well, that ain't fair. It's got to be my way. Back to the wheel. When it really comes to lost folks, we need to say, I don't care. Long as they get saved. I'm glad you said amen. Let's throw this one here out there. When it comes to our will in our life, we need to say, I don't care, God, as long as it's yours. There's a lot of people in here you could talk to about computers. But if yours breaks down, call me. Why is it funny? Well, everybody knows. Brian can relate. Robbie can relate. I don't know nothing about it. I open up email, I close email, I don't go nowhere else. That's it. We can do this. I don't care to do that. Just leave it alone. You get it stuck. I did, didn't it? So you don't want to talk to me about a broken problem. Right? You want to call on those who are qualified. If God can see the end of your life, your total destiny, wouldn't you much rather consult Him? Wouldn't you much rather allow His will to work in you than your own? Allowing it to happen. Psalms 119. Let's pick up at verse number 81. My soul fainteth for salvation, but I hope in Thy word. Mine eyes fail for Thy word, saying, when wilt Thou comfort me? Has anybody ever felt that way? When you're waiting? When, God? When are You going to comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget Thy statutes. Now how could David, in the middle, now notice, even when Jesus says this, Jesus is telling his disciples back in Luke when we read that, he's telling them about wars and about nations and kings that are going to rise up against you. He's going to tell you about the weather getting whacked out and crazy. He's going to tell you about earthquakes happening where we never hear of earthquakes happening. He's telling you about storms and floods and pestilence and all of that's coming. And he looks at them and he also says, oh, and by the way, just in case I may have not mentioned it to you, your family's going to turn against you and so is your friends. And then he says, in patience, possess you your soul. Now here's David going through. We know what he went through. He's got the kingdoms against him. He's got some of his men of valor against him. He's even got his sons and his sons coming against him. His family's turned against him. Half of his kingdom turned. He's got all these problems. And David says, for I become like a barrel in the smoke. Well, that don't really stick out until we realize. Now, in our language, we lose a whole lot. Now, we know a bottle is a bottle, and we can set it up, and it can get smoky or be through a fire. We know about that. We can wipe the smoke off, and the bottle's bottle because glass is not porous, and that's it. It don't affect it a bit, right? But what if, in the Hebrew, through the translation, the word bottle is a leather bag or wineskin. So now David's saying, I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. Now in the Bedouins, when they move around from tent to tent, and the Hebrew people when they were living in tents, they would hang their wineskins up because you can't lay them down. Everything will run out of it. So you hang them up. Where does all of the heat and the smoke when you build a fire in it go? What does heat do to leather? What does smoke do to leather? What's it do, Jimmy? Dries it out, makes it crack where it can't hold. Jesus said we cannot put this new covenant, we cannot put new wine in old wineskins because they'll break. David telling them right there, he's saying, I've become dried up. I need some help. Jesus telling us in this new covenant and in this new wine, he tells us one thing. He tells us we consistently, all through the New Testament, it says, be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Be ye filled with joy. Be filled up with the Holy Ghost. Fill yourself with Christ. He tells you all of this stuff. But you can't be old and dry because when you cork it, it'll explode. You'll never be able to hold in. So whenever you're feeling dry and feeling like you're forsaken, David had to do one thing. There's an anointing that takes place, and you got to get some oil down, and you got to start to rub it on that leather. You got to loosen it up. Now, how many know you can take an old leather ball glove that is cracked and falling apart, and you start putting the oil on it, and you start rubbing it, and what happens? It gets soft. It gets flexible. You can use it for its intended purpose. But as long as it's hard and dry, you cannot use it. If you do the same thing with boots or shoes, you better know that they're going to crack, they'll get holes in them, they'll fall apart. But through the anointing, if you will allow the anointed Word of God to be put on you, and you rub it in and you bring it in, it will soften your outside casing where that you can hold the fullness of the Holy Ghost that Jesus said, I'll send Him back to lead you, wait a minute, to guide you, wait a minute, to teach you. It sounds like in patience we will possess our whole being as a Christ-like individual. But when I hop out of my patience and I hop out of what God has, things begin to get a mess. So I have to allow God to come back in. And when you feel, you're going to feel like that bottle in the smoke. You're going to feel like everything is going against you. You need to get in here and follow what it says. Hear me now. It does me no good to read this and to come in here and to listen to me and Robbie and Scott holler and scream and jump around if you're never going to respond and you're never going to do nothing with it. It's not going to benefit you one bit. Well, I've read it cover to cover. Are you following what it says? That's what it amounts to. Now, as I pray for this message, I know of 10 people in this place. God brought you before my face, and I walk up and put my hand on you and say, you're the one God's talking to, but I'm not going to do that. Because you already know. You already know a word for patience is for you. You need to wait. And the reason you're so impatient is because you've gotten out of God's will and you're getting into your own. You want it your way. And it's not going to happen. You've done tried it. You've done tried to force it. It's not going to happen. You can make something up, but all it's going to do is bring you through year and year and year of mess and mess and mess. How do I fix it? It's right here that tells you how to fix it. If I could, Sister Joan, I would have wrote it different so that it could include some people that I love who won't allow their will to be broken. I'm sure you would have too. I'm sure Kay would have. I'm sure Rick would have. We would put a little exclusion in there for this person. And then said that's the way it is, but that's not the way it is. Robbie says all the time, it's written. It's forever settled. It ain't going to change. So in our patience, we're going to possess our souls. In our patience, we're going to possess our minds and our will and our emotions. We've got to be patient. How many people, and this is again 100% participation, how many people, and I need to be able to see everybody, thinks that when you pray, God doesn't hear you? Go ahead, you can look around. So if you know God heard you, then leave it with Him. I don't have to be going, Rick. What? No, don't look at me. Rick. That's what we do to God. Rick. So like, don't look at me, God. Don't answer this. God. And God finally says, okay, Terry, we're going to do it this way. No, not your will, my will. God, right? When are we going to say, Lord, your will be done? It may not be comfortable. That's when you reach it, folks. That's when you reach it. And you will get peace over situations that there is no peace in it. How can I say that? Because in your sight and in your will, there is no peace. But when you give it to God, then peace comes. Because He knows how to work it out. He will. He will. He will. Hear me. He will. He will. Now, I want everybody to say something with me. 100% participation again. It's mine. And you can't have it. That is your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. I want you to remember that. Every time you feel you're going to freak out, say, nope, it's mine, and I ain't giving it up. Between me and God, I will possess my soul. Everybody close up their Bibles and set them down. First thing, does anyone need to pray? I know we ain't got a song and everybody's standing, but things are going to be a little different. Okay. This is our 100% participation too. Cheryl, I want you to stand right here. I want to do this just the way that the Lord give it to me. Cheryl, Tony, Shannon, Cindy, and Kim right here. Yep. Kimberly. Rick, I want you over here.
That's Rick.
Yep, that Rick. Kim, Sean, Jimmy, and Carol. You can bring a youngin' with you if you need to. Now, I know this is going to get a little tight, but just bear with me a minute, okay? There's a reason. Robbie, let's see. Tony and Wayne, I need y'all to get out of there. And Robbie, you sit down right there. Right here. Or just work in there. Now, David, Christy, and Mom, Robbie, y'all are a group, okay? Ray, need you right here. Willadine, the two kids, and Tammy. Not you yet. Well, what about me? Go ahead and stop it, Chelsea. Just stop. Let me shut this off.